Last week, we spent some time in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, looking at Paul's description of life in terms of redemption, transformation, and vocation. He begins in chapter 12 saying, "Therefore, in view of God's mercies, present yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, holy and pleasing. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may be able to discern what is best, God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." And so we looked at how the therefore that Paul says is the salvation, the redemption that God gives freely by his grace, based on the work of Christ, received in faith. And that from that redemption springs a transformation. That we usually want to reverse the two and say, transformation comes first so that we might get our redemption. That's how life works. Get the makeover and then you'll have your success, right? God says, no, you get your blessing, your grace, because of God's grace, which produces a transformation. And Paul says that the touchstone for that transformation is the renewal of the mind. And that from this renewal of the mind springs a discernment of God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, which we said last week was a sense of vocation. So what I'd like to do today is expand on this idea of vocation. The word vocation itself comes from the Latin vocare, which means to call. And I said last week that vocation is an idea, something that's bigger than just maybe what our job is. Now, we live in a day and age where our job forms a considerable part of our identity. And what I'd like to speak about today in terms of vocation is how do we as Christians, as people of God, hear and discern what our vocation is, that good, pleasing, and perfect will for God. And I want to focus on identity, calling, and opportunity today. So identity. I said that our job, whether it was a job that we had and we are now in retirement, whether it's a job we're currently in or maybe a job we're hoping to have someday, that this forms a huge part of our identity. Right? You fill out any kind of insurance form or some kind of form or application or membership, and what does it always ask you for? What's your job, your occupation? I'm like, what do you care if I'm what my job is, right? But again, it's always there. If you meet somebody on a plane or sit next to them on a bus or something like that, and what do you do? In other words, what's your job, right? So there's so much of our identity that is tied up with what our occupation is, our job. And that's not a bad thing. But what I want to get at is something that God gives that's bigger than just what our job is. And that's an identity that's found ultimately in Christ, not in your work. In our Old Testament reading today from Exodus, we're following the life of Moses. In our previous Sundays, we read about how Moses was born at a time in Egypt where the Pharaoh was not very kindly disposed towards the Israelites who were living there. In fact, he set out to basically perform genocide. He wanted to wipe them out, or at the very least control their numbers because the Egyptians were afraid of them. And through God's sovereign guidance, by the means of his courageous mother, Moses is spared, and by happenstance, by God's purpose, ends up being raised in the household of Pharaoh, the same Pharaoh who had been trying to kill him as an infant. Sort of divine, perhaps, irony, if you will. So that this son of the Hebrews is raised and educated in the household of the king of Egypt, of Pharaoh's house. But in our reading today, where is Moses?
He ain't in Egypt.
He's certainly not living the life of a prince. We find Moses herding goats and sheep in the middle of the desert in Midian. So what happened? Well, what happened was is that Moses saw an incident happening in Egypt where an Egyptian overseer was beating up an Israelite, and Moses got so upset and angry that he attacks and kills the Egyptian guy. And he's so afraid for his life then that he flees into the desert. And it's there in the desert that he meets a man named Jethro, marries his daughter Zipporah, and gets hired by Jethro to be a tender of his flocks. Now, in our day and age, is it generally considered a good thing or not a good thing to be employed by your father-in-law? I'm not judging, I'm just saying. So here we have Moses, who goes from the household of royalty to herding the flocks of his father-in-law in the desert. He's been doing it for a long time, 40 years almost. He's been going in and out, day in, day out. What's his job? I'm a shepherd. I'm a goat herder. Day in and day out. Here's the sheep. There's the water. Here's the sheep. There's the grass. Here's the sheep. There's the water. And that's what he's done for decades. That's his job. But what happens? He wakes up one morning and says, Moses. I say to myself, Moses. Is this really what I want for my life? Am I getting the most out of who I am? Am I living to my greatest potential? Am I pursuing the dream that I had once when I was a young man? No, that's not what happens at all. He's just going day in and day out, herding goats, until God steps in and gets his attention. And everything changes from there. That's part of what this identity in Christ is all about, is God getting our attention. So that what defines us at the very core of our being is not necessarily what we do from 9 to 5. Not that that's a bad thing. Not at all. But what is our identity? The core of who we are, where we draw our being from. And God says, I want you to get that from Christ. Not your job, however good it may be. That your identity is found in the Lord and his saving grace towards you. An identity that goes beyond anything that you might aspire to or fail at. It's very important to understand. Because sometimes you don't get the job you want, do you? Sometimes you do get the job you didn't want. Sometimes it just doesn't work out the way you thought it would. What did she sing in Les Miserables? I had a dream, and I found that life has killed the dream. Right? So if your identity is tied up in that work, and it explodes on you, your identity is shot. But God says your identity is found in Christ. That goes beyond what your work might be. Now the upside is, that's sort of the heavy piece. The upside is that if your identity is found in Christ, you really can serve at any job and glorify the Lord. Have you ever heard of the Protestant work ethic? Maybe America's built on the Protestant work ethic. Today that usually means that I work 100 hours a week and I haven't taken a vacation in 37 years. And everybody says, oh wow, that's so good. You're awesome. And God says, yeah, that's workaholism and idolatry. Stop. But originally, the quote, if we're going to call it that, the Protestant work ethic, meant that you were righteous before God, not based on your job, but your standing in Christ. And that you didn't just have to serve God in the church to be holy. In other words, in the medieval church, there was this understanding, this sort of two-tiered version of vocation, that we have to have farmers and bakers and tanners and blacksmiths and these jobs that make life possible. But the real work serving God is done within the church by the clergy. So you kind of have this sort of two-tiered model of service to God. And that the work of the latter, of the clergy within the church, was done on behalf of the people who had just the regular occupations. And the Reformation came along in the 16th century and said, wait a second. We're all righteous before God based on faith in Christ, not on what our job is, even if it's a job in the church. And you've heard me say this before, one of the greatest sort of descriptions of the examples of this is when a young man came to Martin Luther and he'd heard the gospel and he says, Dr. Luther, I've heard the gospel, I've received Christ in faith, what should I do now? The implication being like, well, I've had this religious experience, so I should go and get ordained and serve in the church. And Luther says, well, what do you do right now? And he says, well, I'm a shoemaker, Mr. Luther. And he says, well, then make a good shoe and sell it at a fair price. In other words, your vocation in Christ can glorify him in any job because your identity comes from God, not the job. So that's the first thing. That's the identity that we need to understand in terms of our vocation. The second thing is calling. Let me go back to Moses. As I said, Moses wasn't having a significant goal-oriented self-help session when he decided to go back and rescue God's people from slavery in Egypt. God intervened in his life. And when you read the narrative, Moses is going along and doing his everyday thing. And all of a sudden, one day, he sees something out of the ordinary. It's a bush that's on fire. And kind of he's like, oh, goats, sheep, goats. What is that? And it says, when God saw that Moses turned aside to see what was going on, he spoke to him. God had Moses' attention, finally. He said, Moses, Moses, remove your sandals, for the ground on which you walk is holy. And so he does. And Moses is like, well, what's going on here? And he's like, you're going to be my choice to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Come again. But my job is a shepherd. It's what I do. That's not my calling. And God says, no, I've got a calling on your life to serve me. And you know what's really amazing? Moses ended up being a shepherd. Just not of goats anymore. He shepherded the people of Israel through the wilderness. So his job ended up following his calling. God gets our attention and gives us an identity and a calling in him. Let me close by saying this. So how do you know what to do? There was once a great Christian writer. He lived in the early part of the 20th century. His name was Oswald Chambers. And he served in World War I and served as a chaplain and mentored and spoke to and prayed with a great number of people, soldiers, civilians, through some of the worst in that period of world history. And after he died at a young age. He was only in his late 30s, maybe early 40s when he passed away. They found in his desk stacks of devotions, of writings, and they were compiled and published posthumously in a book that is still in print today called My Utmost for His Highest. Maybe you've heard of it. And in one of the entries, one of the devotions, he talks about this idea of calling and vocation. And he says that the opportunity is never the calling. In other words, we always have a great number of opportunities in life to serve God in a certain way or to do a certain job or to do a certain thing. There's always an opportunity that may present itself to us. He says, but that's never the calling. He says the calling is what comes from being in genuine contact with God so that you might better understand and see the opportunities that are presented before you. So Chambers makes a very momentous distinction between the opportunities we come across in life and the calling, which ultimately comes from God. And maybe you've had to, maybe you've experienced this, where you've been looking at two options. You're like, well, there's this great job over here that I've discovered, or I could stay where I am, and here's the, and you're trying kind of your cost benefits analysis, and you're trying to figure out what you should be doing based on the opportunity that's come to you, and then you sort of say, well, I'm just going to kind of go and do this and whatever, because I like the benefits package. But what Chambers is saying is, like, don't start with the opportunity. Start with the connection from God. And hear that call. And then look at the opportunity and say, how is this opportunity fitting with what God is calling me to do? So that at the end of the day, whatever opportunity might come your way, whether you are just starting out in your career or thinking about what you want to be in life, what you want to do, what your job might be, or whether you're in a job that you've been doing for many, many years and loving it, or in a job for many, many years and hating it, or whether you're retired and figuring out what that season of life is going to look like. Don't just look at the opportunities that come along, but find that connection with God through word, through prayer, and through sacrament, through fellowship, and discern that identity that you have in Him. So that you might be able to say, as I read one gentleman did, when asked, what is your job? And he said, well, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ disguised as an auto mechanic. So that with every spark plug and every wrench twist, he knew that he was serving his Lord and glorifying Him. Being fair and honest in his work, glorifying God through what he did, because he understood his calling, his vocation was greater than what his job was. And it brought joy, even in the mundane things. It brought a sense of peace and assurance that I am where I'm supposed to be. Even if I'm not happy there. Because that's possible. Or I am where I need to be and doing what I need to do because I'm overjoyed and I'm happy here doing what I'm doing because I know my identity in Christ and I've heard his call and I know my vocation in the Lord. Amen.